Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And my name is Carolyn.
And you're joining us for our lesson called The Greatest Races. Well, I know that many people do enjoy running. Many people enjoy exercising and racing with other people or against other people. So I wonder if you have ever joined a race and maybe what's the furthest you have ever run or have you ever joined a race? Carolyn, what about you?
Well, the furthest I've ever run was probably 8 kilometers, and that was at the gym, not in a race. But I have been able to watch several races, several marathons, actually, and take pictures of my friends as they cross the finish line.
Well, hey, that's great to know, because the next time I'm in a race, maybe you can take some pictures as I cross the finish line.
Well, if you let me know when your race is, I would be happy to take some pictures for you.
All right. Well, maybe I will run one of these great races one day. We're going to get started with the first reading of our lesson today, The Greatest Races.
The Greatest Races. Races around the world push runners to their limits. An exhausted runner raced into the Greek city of Athens. It was 490 BC. The man had come from the town of Marathon to deliver a message. The Greeks had won a battle against an attacking army. The runner reached Athens and shouted, "Greetings, we win!" before falling down dead. This story may or may not be true. However, because of it, people run 42,195-meter races, the distance between Marathon and Athens. These athletic events are called marathons.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. The country of Greece has gifted the world with many things. In this month's sports article, we'll learn about one of its greatest contributions to the world of sports. Before we begin, here are the key words. Exhaust. Exhaust is a verb. The children were exhausted after playing on the beach all day. Greeting. Greeting is a noun. Please give my greetings to your family when you see them. Marathon. Marathon is a noun. Rick trained for months so he could run in the marathon. Landmark. Landmark is a noun. That building is one of the city's most famous landmarks. Let's dive in and find out more.
Well, at the beginning of our article, we see races around the world push runners to their limits. And this is a very great phrase to push someone to their limits. Push to one's limits is a phrase we do want to look at. And if you are pushed to your limits, what does that mean, Gabe?
Well, that means you are doing something a little more challenging than you have done in the past. So you are pushed to your limits. You think it's all you can do, but then you actually do some more. So some races will push you to your limits if you are a runner. How else might you use that phrase, Carolyn?
Well, a competition can also push someone to their limits. If you are pushed to your limits, then you are at the very edge. You don't think you can go any further. And a race like this, a very long race, can certainly push you to your physical limits.
That's right. Of course, you're talking about physical limits. There might be other limits as well. You think you can only study for so long, or maybe you think you can only take so many classes during a semester, and you push yourself to your limits, and you work really, really hard in school. I think many students also push themselves to their limits Maybe they even push their limits back. Well, how do we get started here, Carolyn?
Well, we do learn about someone who pushed his limits. We see an exhausted runner raced into the Greek city of Athens. And here we have a key word, the word exhausted. If something is exhausted, then it is out of energy. It is very, very tired. So here the runner was exhausted. He had no more energy left.
Well, do you ever feel exhausted? You might say, I'm so exhausted. I've been working hard all day on a project. Now I'm exhausted. I was in a bicycle race not too long ago, and we rode for about 80 kilometers. I was exhausted by the end of the day, but I'm really glad that I joined the race. So you can be exhausted from exercising or doing something physically. You might also be exhausted from talking. And if I keep talking, I might feel very exhausted. So Carolyn, please say something.
Well, there are things that can make you feel very tired, very exhausted. And we see in our article, it was 490 BC. So this was a very long time ago. And the man had come from the town of Marathon to deliver a message. And what was his message, Gabe?
The Greeks had won a battle against an attacking army. So they won. There were some enemies attacking them. And then the runner reached Athens and shouted, "Greetings, we win!" before falling down dead. Well, that is one great thing to say before you die, I guess. Carolyn, should we talk about one of those words?
Yes, we should. When the runner arrived in Athens, he said, "Greetings." And greetings is a very interesting word here. It's not one that I hear too often now, but greetings is a kind of greeting. It's another way to say hello. So if you say greetings, you are greeting someone. You are saying hello to them.
That's right. So you might talk about maybe season's greetings. Some cards during Christmas time will say season's greetings. That's kind of a special way to say hi to somebody. Or you could say, hey, please send greetings for me. I can't go with you to visit, but please send greetings for me.
That's right. So there are some ways to use this, and you can try using this instead of hello. You can say greetings. And continuing on in our article, we see this story may or may not be true. So we aren't sure if this actually happened or if it's just a story. However, because of it, people run 42,195 meter races, the distance between Marathon and Athens.
That is an incredible distance to run. He ran a long time. Well, the next sentence says these athletic events are called marathons. All right, so why is it called marathon? Because one of the places is called Marathon. Well, let's take a look at that word. It is marathon. Of course, it was just originally the name of a place, but now it's a long race that is 42,195 meters long.
Or about 42 kilometers mm-hmm. is what they usually run in a modern marathon.
That's right. Well, have you ever run a marathon? Carolyn, I don't think you have you?
I have not, but I have had the experience of going to watch my friend run in a marathon, and she actually placed fourth or fifth, I think. So it was very, very exciting.
Well, that is really cool. I have never participated in a marathon either, but I think maybe I'll start with a half marathon. Another kind of race is a half marathon. Of course, it's half as long as a marathon. Well, it's time for us to continue learning something with Steve and Ken in the Information Cloud. And then we'll visit Michelle.
There are, in fact, two roads that go from the Greek town of Marathon to the capital of Athens. One is exactly 34.5 kilometers long, and the other is 40.8 kilometers long.
So you might ask, where does 42.195 kilometers, the official distance of a modern marathon, come from?
Well, it does seem pretty random, doesn't it? I mean, couldn't marathon organizers have chosen a simpler number for the race distance, something like 40 kilometers?
Well, for many years, they did. In the 1896, 1900, and 1904 Olympic Games, 40 kilometers was the official marathon distance.
But then the distance got wacky, and here's why. In 1908, the Summer Olympic Games were held in London, England. Of course, the British royal family wanted to have a good view of the race.
And naturally, the Olympic officials wanted to make the king and queen happy.
Right. So the marathon was to start at Windsor Castle and finish right in front of the royal family's viewing box.
But to make that happen, the race distance had to be extended 2.195 kilometers.
And somehow, it stuck. Now, the awkward-sounding 42.195 kilometers is the official Olympic marathon distance.
现代马拉松赛事的标准距离是 42.195 公里。为什么用这个奇怪的距离而不是凑成一个整数呢？原因是在1908年伦敦奥运会上，为了能够照顾英国王室，主办单位把起点设在温莎城堡，终点则定在体育场内皇家包厢的正对面。为了向所有的观众展现马拉松运动的精神，运动员呢必须在进入体育场后再跑一圈，最后在皇家包厢的前面冲刺。这样一来呢，全程的距离就变成了 42.195 公里。后来这个距离就固定为马拉松的标准距离。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 这篇文章我们先来看 exhaust 这个动词。Exhaust 是指使精疲力尽或者是耗尽。例如 ,the long hours of training really exhausted the students. 这个长时间的训练真的让学员精疲力竭。课文提到的 exhausted 是它的过去分词，当作形容词意思是指精疲力竭的。例如 ,Carl was exhausted by the end of the day. Carl 到了晚上已经累坏了。它的现在分词 exhausting 当形容词的话是指令人精疲力尽的，例如 an exhausting schedule 令人精疲力竭的行程。继续我们看的是 greeting 这个名词， greeting 是指问候或致意，在对话中可以是指大家好的意思。例如 people in the park exchange greetings in the morning， 早晨的时候大家都会在公园里面彼此打招呼。或者是 his warm and friendly greetings delight everyone. 他温暖又亲切的问候让每个人都很开心。
If you're just joining us, in the first part of our lesson today, we learned about a runner who ran from the city of Marathon to Athens, which was just a little over 42,000 meters, and he yelled, "Greetings, we win!" There was a war or a battle, and the Greeks won. And so that distance between Marathon and Athens gave us the distance for our modern-day marathons. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about these great races in the second part of our reading today.
The Greatest Races. The first marathon held in 1896 was a selection race for the first modern Olympics. It had about a dozen runners. But more races, including the Olympic Marathon, soon followed. The next year, the first annual marathon was run in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Today, about 800 marathons take place in cities every year. Location, location, location. Running a marathon is extremely difficult, but some runners can enjoy the sights as they go. Marathons in Paris and London take runners past these famous cities' most impressive landmarks.
It would be very interesting to run through these different cities. Well, we see at the beginning of this reading, the first marathon, held in 1896, was a selection race for the first modern Olympics. So this was a special race. We hadn't really started having marathons as competitions. It was a selection race for the Olympics.
That's right, a selection race. And when you select something, that means you are choosing something. So maybe they were choosing who would be the first Olympic runners. We find that it had about a dozen runners, so about 12 runners were in this selection race.
So not very many people were participating in marathons at this time, but then we continue to see but more races, including the Olympic marathon, soon followed. So there were many more marathons to occur later, and the Olympics even now has a marathon event.
That's right. Well, we continue. The next year, the first annual marathon was run in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. So in 1896 was that selection race, and the next year, 1897, was the first marathon, or the first annual marathon. That means that's the first time it started happening on a yearly basis.
That's right. And today, about 800 marathons take place in cities every year. So we went from having just one marathon as a selection race for the Olympics to having about 800 marathons a year.
That is a lot. So that means there are many places in the world that you can go and participate in a marathon. Or, if you don't want to participate, you can go and stand on the sidelines and take pictures and cheer your friends on while they run their marathons.
That's right. It is a lot of fun to go to a marathon and to watch, just as someone who enjoys watching a race. It is a very great time.
Well, let's go to the next section. It has three words that are all the same. Location, location, location. Running a marathon is extremely difficult. Well, yeah, that's easy to believe, right, Carolyn?
I think so. It is very easy to believe that running a marathon is difficult. It takes a lot of training and practice.
That's right. But we continue. But some runners can enjoy the sights as they go. The sights. What are we talking about here, Carolyn?
Well, those would be things that you can see while you're running. The sights as you go. It means that you are able to look at things while you are running this race. And it's a pretty long race, so you should be able to see a lot of things.
Well, I hope so. Actually, that's one of the nicest things about not running around a track. If you're actually running outside in nature or through a city, there are many things to see. There are many sights.
That's right. And in our article, we see marathons in Paris and London take runners past these famous cities' most impressive landmarks. So if you participate in a marathon in London or Paris or maybe some other cities, you will get to run past some of their very impressive landmarks. And a landmark is a word that we want to talk about today. If something is a landmark, what does that mean, Gabe?
Well, a landmark is something that most people recognize, or it is noticeable. It's a noticeable place on in a place, or like on a map. So there are some very big landmarks, like in Paris. I can imagine one of the most famous landmarks is the Eiffel Tower. What's another famous landmark that you might see in one of these cities, Carolyn?
Well, I know that if you come to Taipei, you would see Taipei 101.
Oh,
it is a very famous landmark here, but landmarks can also be part of nature. If you go to the Grand Canyon, that is also a very famous landmark.
That's right. You don't have to just talk about landmarks as being something big and famous. Maybe you're trying to give directions to one of your friends to get to your house, and there is a more noticeable place in your neighborhood. Oh, you need to turn left at the post office. Everyone knows where the post office is. That is a landmark in our neighborhood.
That's right. So there are many different kinds of landmarks. And if you run a marathon in a big city like Paris or London, you should be able to see some of their very famous landmarks that many tourists want to visit.
All right. Well, it's time for us right now to visit a review skit, or have fun with a review skit, and then we'll see Michelle in the language lab.
Oh, you look exhausted.
I am. I'm getting ready to run a marathon.
A marathon? What is that?
A marathon is a very long race.
Exactly how long is a marathon?
It's 42,195 meters.
Wow, that is long. But why is it 42,195 meters?
Well, it all started about 490 BC. A man was running to deliver a message.
Oh, like a messenger?
Yes. Oh. He was running to Athens, Greece, from a town called Marathon.
Oh, so how far did he have to run?
He ran 42,195 meters.
Oh, so that's where the name Marathon comes from?
Yes, the name and the distance.
So what news did the messenger bring?
Well, he brought news of a battle. He raced into Athens and shouted.
Well, what did he shout? What was the message?
Greetings! We win!
Wow, well, that was good news.
Yes. But then he fell down dead.
Oh, well, that's bad news.
Yes.
Hey, did that really happen?
Well, the story may or may not be true. However, because of it, people run the distance between Marathon and Athens.
Oh, 42,195 meters.
That's right. And it's called a marathon.
Wow, a marathon. That's interesting.
And exhausting.
Location 是指地点，例如 The location of the restaurant is near a college. 这家餐厅的地点靠近所大学。它的动词是 locate, L-O-C-A-T-E, 意思是指设立或建立，常常用被动语态。例如 The company's headquarters are located in Minnesota. 这家公司的总部位于明尼苏达州。最后我们看的是 landmark 这个名词。Land 是指土地 ,Mark 是指标志，所以 Landmark 是指地标。例如 ,The Empire State Building is one of New York's most famous landmarks. 帝国大厦是纽约最有名的地标之一。Landmark 也可以指里程碑。例如 ,Studying abroad is an important landmark in life for Gina. 对 Gina 而言，去国外读书是她生命中最重要的里程碑。Okay, get ready to learn more from our teachers.Today we've learned a little bit about the history of the marathon and how it got its name. We've also talked a little bit about places that you can run marathons through big cities and some of the impressive landmarks you might see. And I wonder, would you want to run a marathon? What do you think, Gabe? Would you be interested in running a marathon?
Well, that does interest me. I think I would have to prepare well for it by exercising months in advance. But let me tell you, I do like the kind of marathon that Steve and Ken were talking about in the information cloud. Maybe like a movie marathon where I watch many movies back to back. That sounds a little more appealing to me, Carolyn.
Well, that is a different kind of marathon. Mm-hmm. And if you want to run a marathon in one of these races, you should definitely take time to train and make sure that your body is able to handle running such a long distance. Well, we have a lot more to learn about marathons tomorrow in the rest of our lesson. So we'll see you then.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
In our last episode, we discovered a strange man has been following Sherry. Will he mysteriously show up again? Stay with us for this next episode of The Stranger.
The next morning, Feng Yi arrived at the hotel lobby exactly at 8 o'clock. I had had a restless night. After seeing that strange man at the airport yesterday, I kept dreaming about someone following me. I was running a little late, so by the time we got to the train station, the train was just about to leave. We had to run to catch it. I was so glad we decided to get out of Taipei for the weekend and visit Taichung.
Quick, Sherry, get on the train.
Phew, that was close. Now, where do we sit?
Our seats are over there, numbers 11 and 12. Do you feel better now that we are leaving that strange man back in Taipei?
I'll say.
You probably didn't sleep too well. Are you tired?
Actually, I'm pretty excited. This scenery is so beautiful, and I can't wait to see the place where my mom used to live.
Did she talk much about her life in Taichung?
Not much. But she said that her time teaching there changed her life. That's why I'm so anxious to visit the city. Did I tell you that my mom died from cancer about a year ago?
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have to talk about it if it's still painful for you.
No, it's okay to talk about it. Mom was a Christian. So although I miss her a lot, I know I'll see her again someday. Before she died, my mom was in a lot of pain. Now I know that she's in a place where there's no pain or crying, only great happiness and love. I'm just glad she's not suffering anymore.
So, tell me about your mother's life here in Taiwan.
Well, just before she died, she told me a secret that she had kept from me all my life.
What is Sherry's mother's hidden secret? Join us as we find out in the next episode of The Stranger.